Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
It's all about a people that you love and you died for and that you won the victory for. Coming into contact, coming into relationship, coming into the reality of your grace, your mercy, your love that transcends the kingdoms of this earth, that comes into the heart of those who will gaze upon your beauty. Lord, that there's no victory that we still need to win, but Lord, that we rest in your presence. We rest, Lord. We rest in the victory, God, that there is no stone left unturned. Father, I pray for revelation, God, in us as a people. Father, I pray that this revelation would break depression. Father, that there are those here that have clouds of darkness that are hanging over them. Father, I pray that you'd shatter those things with the reality, with the revelation of the love of God, with the reality of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That everything that has separated, has been removed, has been taken out of the way. Father, I pray that that revelation would break depression, would break this cloud of darkness. God, I pray that it would break those hindrances, God, to physical healings, God. Father, release this revelation deeper, deeper in our hearts. God, that as we go from this place, as we sit here today and we go through whatever is going to happen here today, God, that our faces would be faced and looking towards you, beholding your beauty, beholding your excellence, beholding your majesty. We don't want just a conceptual ideology of a living, resurrected, victorious Jesus. But we want a Jesus that we can lean upon his breast, hear his words.
Do not say in your heart, who am I to be called a son of God? Who am I to be called into your holiness? For you were bought with a price, and there's no greater price that can ever be paid for you than the blood of Christ. Do not say in your heart, who am I, but what about this? For the power of my blood that was shed for you is still purchasing you. It is still working to deliver you. It is still working to redeem you. It is still working to restore you. Faint not, for it is my purpose to bring you fully in to my kingdom, and to the image of my Son.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. We agree. We rest. We rest in you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated if you want to. You know, there's just is nothing more satisfying than being in his presence. There's just nothing more satisfying than coming into the kind of a presence where you know that you know that you know that you're loved. That you know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords loves you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're new here, if this is your first time coming to Living Waters, would you mind just raising your hand or standing up? We just want to welcome you. We want to greet you. One little one here. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, well, welcome. Welcome. We just trust, you know, we really have a firm conviction that Jesus is somebody who can be approached. Jesus is somebody that this God that we make proclamation of is somebody who can really impact our lives in a very, very real and powerful way. You know, not all of us experience that in the same way. And there might be some of you that aren't experiencing it the way that I do. And that's all right. You know, that's just fine. I tend to get pretty soft and pretty weepy and kind of woozy when I come into this presence. And I tend to do things like say, what are we going to do now? You know, like, you mean we're supposed to go on from here? But not everybody feels that, and that's all right. And I believe that there is a progressing of understanding and sensing and entering into this presence that comes from on high. You know, our walk in Christ isn't about perfection, it's about pursuit. Jane, come on up and...
So it's always interesting to see how many ways you can come up with something new for an offering. But you know, there's something that I do have that's really monitors or what? Feeding back. I really don't need much mic anyway. So. But what I wanted to tell you is I really want to brag on the Lord. You know, that's not hard to do. Because He is so faithful in our lives. You know, and you gotta step back and you gotta think about it once in a while. Because I've been a Christian for many years. And I've seen Him always take care of the needs. You know? It's been tough. There's been a lot of things we've been through. But I want to brag about just what's happened this last year. I've been laid off. I got laid off on the 18th of June. Okay, so I've been out of work for quite a while. And I'm doing great. Okay, it's great. It's not a problem whatsoever. Now, I'm taken care of through unemployment, some different things and everything, you know, whatever. You let it come and, you know, you take that. But what I'm bragging about is God sees every need. He's taken away debts that we had, okay? We paid our house off. Paid our house off. Since I got laid off, you know? And you go, boy, maybe I ought to hang on to that money just in case and things like that, you know? And Lord said, no, this is the time. This is the time to go ahead and do that. The last payment on my car is this month. All the things that you'd fret and worry about are being taken care of even though I can't do it. Now, you got to think about that, see? Now, why am I more blessed than anyone else? Because I'm His favorite. But so are you. Every one of you are. And do you think that God is kind of shaken up and worried about finances because of how He's shaken our economy right now? Do you think He's fretting about that or worried in the least about how He's going to get His money? What does He own? Everything, right? If anyone can make gold in the ground for people to dig up, it was God, right? You know, His economy is such that He doesn't concern or worry about any of that. But what he wants to teach us how to do is trust him. And that is so important. And you know, one of the areas that's the most important, I would say, for the Western Church, is learning how to trust him in finances. Because see, that's one of the areas where we have the most power. Because we can decide how we bless people, how we do things, what we pay, what we don't pay. And we control something because we have something. But when we talk about mindsets, God's trying to change our mindset until we realize what we've been given and the reason that we've been given it. Every talent, every dollar is meant to be prayerfully distributed accordingly as God speaks to us. Now, we've heard time and again how faithful the body is here for giving their tithes, giving their offerings, taking care of needs that are brought up, special ministries, special things that come. I know you know these things. But I just want you to see it in the light of God's blessing. God has blessed us beyond measure. Beyond measure. We won't understand how God's blessed us until we're in heaven. We won't understand it. But I want you to be a blessed people. And I want you to bless in giving. Could I have the ushers come forward, please? Yep, I got it right here. We've got some cards that go along with our announcements that we really encourage anybody that's new or people that aren't very good at communicating needs and things like that to put it down on this card. It's like an inner church email where you can send things to somebody here, okay? It works. People look at these. People read these, and they will pass them on if there's a need or there's something that you'd like to pray about. If you would put them in the offering along with anything that you have to bless the Lord, let's pray. Father, we're so honored to be able to worship you by giving of our labors, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that you are so faithful in the watching over us. Lord, we understand so well the things that you've talked about as far as don't worry. But Lord, it's so hard when things are tough and people lose their jobs and different things. Lord, would you just increase our ability to believe in you, to trust in you, that you have our best in the areas of finances, in the area of blessing. Lord, we want to be a blessing. Lord, we want to be a blessing to one another, and we want to bless you. So, Lord, would you accept our offering here now? And would you use it? Lord, we know that you just watch over it and distribute it according to need. And we give you all the praise. And we give you all the honor. We just sang that song, Lord. We give it all to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you as you give. We have today a special guest, and he's a Gideon. How many appreciate the Gideons? You know, when I think of a ministry that is a very behind the scenes, isn't really recognized a lot, doesn't get a lot of accolades, doesn't get a lot of recognition in many ways, but they are so faithful. How many of you have been blessed? Come on up, Ernie. This is Ernie Goldman. Yeah, give him a hand. And when I think of the Gideons, and I think of how many of you have been blessed to go in a motel and find a Bible in the drawer? It's there. And you know, these guys are just faithful to go with their vision. And their vision is just to have the Word of God placed in places where it normally doesn't get. And so we're just going to give a few minutes to Ernie and to the Gideons. So.
Thank you very much. I bring you greetings from the many Gideons around the world that are distributing God's Word in over 180 different countries and doing it in over 80 different languages. And one of those countries is France. And several years ago, a young woman about in her 20s was living with her grandmother who was in the occult, and this young lady was into drugs and doing a lot of the things that people sometimes get into. And one day she was driving with her boyfriend, and she was just feeling oppressed. She just, there was a spiritual battle going on in her life. And she just silently told God, "If you're real, and if you're there, make yourself known to me today." And as they were driving along, they came to a stoplight. And there was a commotion going on there on the sidewalk. And she rolled down the window. And a man put a little testament like this, almost like this. It was a French language, but one like this in her hand. She put it in her purse. Later that night, she opened up that purse, and this little testament fell out. She started reading it. She read it all night, and finally she came to the very back page, where God's plan for our lives is indicated, and there's a prayer there to receive Him as her Savior, and she did that. And she then later joined an evangelical church, and that's just, we get thousands and thousands of reports like that, how God uses His Word to bring people unto Himself. Last year, with the help of your church, because we were here last year, and the many thousands and thousands of churches around the world, the Gideons were able to distribute over 65 million scriptures.
Woo.
That amounts to about 23 or 24 every minute of the day, all year long. And we distribute those, of course, in hotels, motels, as Pastor Dave said, to the military, in hospitals, and college campuses, and to grade schools where we can. Now, in this country, of course, Supreme Court has made decisions that have been very difficult for us to get into the schools anymore. But in other parts of the world, this is not true. I just came home from Jamaica about 2 weeks ago, and we helped with devotions in grade schools in Jamaica. They have them three times a week. And what a blessing. Those people have that background that so many kids in our country don't have unless they are part of a church like yours. And I was just so thankful to see that happen again. And we have been able to, here locally, we've been able to work with parents so that the all-night graduation parties that are run by the parents, we've been able to get testaments to the seniors at that time. Also, some of you that have probably gone to the county fair, we distribute at the county fair as well. and I believe we're going to be distributing testaments at the expo coming up here in a couple of weeks here at Elk River. There's just a hunger for the Word of God out there. And in Jamaica, and we can't take enough Bibles down there. There's so much poverty in so many of those third world countries, they can't afford a Bible. Or it's either probably a decision, do I feed my children or do I buy a Bible? And Bibles are expensive there. These little testaments are just a real real special, a jewel to those people down there. Why do we do it? Why do we get into the things we do? See men and women, boys and girls, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why we do this. And so how can you help? Of course, you can help financially. One of these little Bibles costs $5. The testaments, on the other hand, are about $1.40. And and of course, all monies that come towards the Gideons are used for scriptures, because we Gideons pay dues every year, and those dues cover the administrative costs for the Gideons. Just one more thing: you have the a little birdie bulletin insert, and there's a little envelope in there, and it also explains how you can buy Bibles in somebody's memory, or if you want to recognize for somebody, for example, graduation or an anniversary or a birthday, you can even buy Bibles in recognition as well. And we also provide cards, in-memory cards that you can use for bereavement, and also in-recognition cards like this. I'm not sure if you have any here or not, but I didn't see them in the foyer. But we do provide those. And I just appreciate coming here. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Ernie. The Gideons generally do not take an offering, but Ernie will be standing at the back of the church by the doors with an open Bible, and it's just available for you to just write, just to take and place some money in there. And I know from the last time they came also, the Gideons are looking for people who want to become Gideons, right? I mean, that's all part of keeping the machine moving. And so if there's anybody here that would just have a heart for just what Ernie's been talking about, we want to encourage you to talk to Ernie and see what it takes to do that. Wow. We had, I don't like to say they had, I like to say we had a women's retreat yesterday and Friday. And I heard just some awesome things about it. Susie can't share specifics with me because what happens in a women's retreat really isn't my business. Other than to know that people were set free, people were healed. There were some physical healings that I heard about. Just all good stuff. I heard, you know, that the word preached was very, very good. Would everybody who was at the women's retreat, would you just stand up? Let's give them a hand. And I say give them a hand because there were a few that really spearheaded it. Chris spoke, and Susie and Corey, and you know, just so many. There's too many really to list. People that prayed. There's a lot of things that go into a women's retreat, and it really is a body thing that Chris couldn't have done what she did if she hadn't had other people around her. Corey cannot do what she does if she doesn't have people around her to do just all the different aspects of things that happen with a women's retreat. I know this. When I come in after a women's retreat, I sense something different in the atmosphere. We just kind of
tend to see that and to feel that. Is there anybody here that would have a testimony, something that God did with you or in you during the women's retreat that you're just dying to let the world know? Anybody at all? All you shy ladies? There were quite a few women that were not from our church. That's always awesome. We love to see that happen. Well, if I can't get the women to testify, is there anybody else that has a testimony, something God's done in your life? Come on up, Brian. Yeah.
I was there. I was the bass voice. You know. No, just in regards to the testimony towards the ladies' retreat, I got a chance to be in the back in the kitchen there with a few other folks, and I so wanted to have that speaker on, because every time I would turn it on, I was drawn, and I would lose track of what I was supposed to be there for, because I wanted to hear what was going on and hear. And so I'd turn it off, and then I'd... You know, half an hour later, I got to turn it back on. So I turned it back on, and I was getting little, you know, just little bits and pieces of what was going on. But I really did feel just the sense of God doing some amazing things. And you could hear it just in the testimony. And as people would come out to do other things, they'd be talking about what was going on back in here. And I believe that Lisa was touched by it. You know, I could tell that, you know, she told me I bought the CD and I had to buy the worship tape. And I could tell that there was things that were imparted in her. So, hats off to the gals here, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. So.
Amen. I want to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week we ministered a little bit out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is trying to bring some order into how we move as a body of believers into releasing the gifts of the Spirit, releasing words of prophecy, releasing words of exhortation. This morning, Mary gave what I would consider to be a word of exhortation. And there is a difference between somebody who comes and prophesies something or has a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, versus what Mary was doing. She was really exhorting us into some things in the house here. And I appreciate, did you notice how Mary waited until the time was right, until the worship seemed like it was just, you know, it's something you sense in here, but the worship kind of came to a place where she felt right about stepping up and releasing the word. We talked a little bit last week about just as courtesy. Because how many know that when you have freedom, you have some dangers? When you have freedom, when you have liberty, you're opening yourself up to a danger that somebody could get up here and start to say some things that just aren't right. You know, and for that reason, many places will not allow people to come up and use an open mic. For me, I feel like we lose something when we lose the voice of the body. And so many of you know that the voice of the body is just something that's very, very important to me. One of the things that we talked a little bit about is that if what you've got in your heart is going to shift the focus of the service, or it's going to call for an altar call, or it's going to call for something that's going to do kind of a major shift, then it's probably best to come and whisper it in my ear. Because as the one that is steering the ship, so to speak, from Sunday to Sunday, a lot of times I have places that I want to go. I have places that I just feel like the Spirit wants us to go. And so it's just wisdom. It's just honor, really, to be able to convey that in such a way. Luke and I were talking a little bit over the weekend here. And we talked a little bit about the transfer of how do you move in from a worship service like our worship teams like to do into a place where we move on with the service and we get into other things. And we just talked a little bit about why does it work so well, you know, that we can do some things in the Spirit where we can accomplish some things in the Spirit. I feel like many times some of the most powerful preaching that I do, if we'll hear it,
number one, it's not just me preaching what Mary shared today. Very, very powerful. Some of the most powerful preaching that I believe that we can do is in those moments after the worship. And it's a very, to me, it's a very critical, it's a really a precious, it's a valuable time. And that transfer moving from worship into the preaching of the word is something that I just long for something to happen there. I don't want to be in a program that says, okay, it's time to quit worshiping now. Let's shut off of our worship mode and let's get into offering mode and let's get it, you know, the things that we tend to want to do. And Luke and I were talking a little bit about that. And one of the things that Luke said, he says, you know, I've never really thought about it much, but it's a matter of honor. It's a matter of, see, we have structure, whether you believe this or not, we do have structure. I have structure to a service that we come into. I like to start the pre-service worship at 20 after. You know, if we're committed to doing it at 20 after, let's not start at 25 after or 9:15. Let's open the service at 9:30. I'd like to have my service openers sitting up front so that when it's time to make that transition, they don't have to walk from somewhere in the building and come up and, you know, it's just a matter of honor. It's a matter of honoring the person that's going to be opening the service. It's a matter of honoring you, the body of Christ, so that we aren't doing things in a confusing manner. So you can come in here with rest and peace and joy and able to enter into a flow of something. Okay? I like to take the service back at, say, 10 o'clock-ish. It's hard to take a worship service and just say, okay, it's 10 o'clock, this is it. So while we have these structures in place, any structure that we have, any government that we have, in the body of Christ should be for the purpose of releasing and not for confining. So when we have a structure that's set up, I am very willing that if the Lord is really speaking some things concerning intimacy, concerning gazing upon His beauty, concerning the deliverance that comes of the absolute victory in Jesus Christ, and the music is playing into that, a lot of times it's me playing into the music. There's a symphony that happens back and forth when you're trying to move in the things of the Spirit. So we talked a little bit last week about kind of some things that, kind of some structures that we have in place in order to have freedom in the house. How many know that a lack of structure isn't freedom? And yet an overstructure isn't freedom. There's this sweet spot in there somewhere that we try to navigate, that we try to feel. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we don't. That's part of the risk we take with not taking an organization of man and enforcing it upon a 2-hour period of time. To tell you the truth, I'm not smart enough to do that. I don't have the stomach to do that. I don't have the desire to do that. But in that, we need to understand that there is a structure, and that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Some of the ways that when we come together, the whole body is built up, the whole body is edified, the whole body can enter into what the Holy Spirit's doing. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I just realized yesterday as I was studying that the Lord has tricked me again. How many know that? What are the three things that the Lord is teaching us in this season? Remember? Prosperity of soul, what it means to be a body, and God is going to be, will be moving into understanding what it is to have a heart for the poor. Right now we're in this season of understanding what it is to be a body. Now, I didn't know really that 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I wanted to bring some understanding to why we do what we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is going to be speaking, we're going to talk a lot about the spiritual gifts this morning. But I had forgotten that the book of 1 Corinthians was really written to a body of believers who had found this newfound freedom in Christ Jesus, and they didn't know how to function in freedom to keep freedom free.
So the Apostle Paul starts addressing things from chapter 1 right on through, and he's addressing issues within the Corinthian church about how do we do this thing of becoming a body. Now, I have found this time of God teaching us how to become a body as one of the fathers of the house, this has been a stretching time for me. During this time, I've been confronted with some things. I've been confronted with some attitudes. I've been confronted with some belief systems that are beginning to change for the sake of the body. I'm beginning to see some things that when God starts to put a people together as a body, when God starts to minister to us as a family, that the closer you get to one another, see, it's easy to be in unity when you're this far apart. It gets a little bit tougher when you're this far apart. When you're like this, unity becomes something that you begin to realize that there really is some give, there's some take, there's something that has to happen with your vision, there's something that has to happen with your understanding, with the things that you hold dear, that you believe, that somebody else that sees things through a different lens doesn't quite get it. And if you're like me, I like to think, why don't they get it? And the Lord's saying, Dave, why don't you get it? See, and there's this thing that you can have opposing views in the body of Christ, and they're both right. Right? I mean, Jesus is both the lion and he's the lamb. Both truths. How do you reconcile the two? You know, and there's just a number of things. One of these days I'm going to preach on that because there's an absolutely liberating truth in understanding that somebody who disagrees with me is carrying a truth many times. They're carrying a truth. Now, I value the opposing truth a little bit more, and therefore I don't value their truth. And we're wrong when we do that. In a family coming together, what we're being called to do is to take people that just see things through a different lens than we do, and we're being called to walk it out with the end result being love. Not just tolerance. Love is more than tolerance. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to talk a little bit about moving in what have been traditionally called the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 12, verses 12 on down is really talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about how the different bodies, just what I was explaining, how the different members of the body have different functions. Therefore, they see the body from a different perspective. How many know that your big toe will see the body from a different perspective than your eyeball? You know, I mean, come on. And really, Paul is using this analogy because it's a very, very real analogy. Every one of you are going to hear some of the things that I'm speaking today, and you're going to see it through a different lens many times than what I'm seeing it through. That's not necessarily bad. What starts to hinder the body of Christ and causes infection and causes disease in the body of Christ is when we take what you're seeing and I don't have enough love to invest myself in you to hear what you're seeing and to put myself in your shoes and to see how you're seeing. See, with my wife and I, how many know that Susie and I are really different? She's the oddball, of course, you know. There couldn't be two people that are more opposite than Susie and I. From our upbringing, from our raising, from everything that we are, the way we think, the way we see things, the way we perceive things. And early in our marriage, I just figured she was screwed up. I just thought she was wrong. Somewhere along the line, God got a hold of me and said, wait a minute, she is just seeing things that you're not seeing. She has an understanding of things from a different perspective than what you have. Dave, love says that you'll get into her world. Love says that you'll listen to her, you'll hear her,
and you'll start to take upon you what she's seeing, what she values. Okay? In a marriage, we got to do that. I want to propose to you, body of Christ, those of you who feel committed to Living Waters Church, that as God is teaching us what it means to be a body, that we need to get in each other's worlds. When we oppose rather than withdrawing from one another, there's a coming together in a way that understands. The commitment that we have in the body of Christ needs to come up a notch. Do you hear what I'm saying? Superficial relationships in the body of Christ have existed for a long, long time. Superficial relationships because Living Waters is built this way and the church down the street is built a different way, that's caused division. See, what God's calling us to do in the body of Christ, and what I love about the Gideons, Ernie's sitting here, and I don't know what his traditions are, but they might be a bit different from Living Waters. But that's all right. We need to honor one another in that. And we need to get to the place where we saddle in alongside of somebody that just sees this thing called the body of Christ and spirituality a little bit different than us. We need to get into a place where we understand. It doesn't mean that we compromise who we are or what we value. Because the way God has built us as a church, as a body, is valuable and is precious. And we need to excel in what God has called us to do, but never at the expense of love. Never at the expense of criticism. How many know that you can excel in Christ without criticism? In fact, I want to propose to us that criticism is like a weight that chains us down in excelling in Christ. 1 Corinthians, you knew I'd get to this, didn't you? Sooner or later. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Let's stop there. There's really three sections that I want to look at in these first 11 verses. The first section that Paul starts off with when we're talking about spiritual gifts, and one of the things that there's just a minor shift. It's nothing that I would split hairs over or any of those things. But there's something that I just feel like we need to understand as the body of Christ when we're talking about spiritual gifts. In verse 1 there, where it talks about spiritual gifts, the word gifts is really not in the original manuscripts. That's something that the translators added because they thought it would bring clarity. And while we're talking in this portion of Scripture about some manifestations, some endowments from heaven, while we're talking about some things that come as a gift to us, I don't believe in that particular place the word gifts fits in. I believe that the better way to read that would be, now concerning this thing of spirituality, concerning this thing of walking in the Spirit, concerning this thing of walking within the supernatural, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. And don't you know that as many who, when you were Gentiles, you were carried about by these dumb idols, however you were led, therefore I make you know that no one speaking by the Spirit can call Jesus accursed. No one by speaking by, you know, and that if you're speaking by the Holy Spirit, then you call him Lord. The thing that Paul is establishing in these first three verses in this section of Scripture is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That the Lordship of Jesus Christ is preeminent when we're talking about walking in spiritual things. When we're talking about walking in the endowment that we receive from on high when we become believers, when we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, that this endowment, this fulfilling, this infilling, this indwelling, that there's something that needs to be put in place, first and foremost, and that is the preeminence of Christ. that Jesus has got to be Lord. In order for you to walk in the spiritual gifts, Jesus has got to be Lord. We don't turn to some kind of dumb idol that represents an unknown God. We serve and we understand and we have communication with a very real, a very risen Savior who today sits victoriously on His throne, who is the head of the church, the body, who is doing the works in planet Earth in this hour, in this day. But see, if we don't get it like Paul is saying concerning spirituality, guys, you know, we're going to give... God has entrusted something to you that is very dangerous. It's very powerful. It's very needed. It's very right. Again, when you have freedom, when you have liberty, when you have power, there is a corresponding danger that comes with it. How many know that in years past, the power gifts, the power manifestation, these gifts that I'm going to be reading about here, they're called the nine gifts of the Spirit. How many know that people have used those in the past to cause division? See, when you have the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you don't use these things as a divisive tool. I don't need to defend what I believe to somebody that doesn't want to hear it. Now, if somebody wants to hear my view, if somebody wants to hear what I have revelation of, then I've got an inroad into their lives. But see, it's Jesus that's Lord, and it's Jesus that's central. It's Jesus that has to be established. So when we talk about these spiritual gifts, these spiritual endowments, I like to call them just manifestations of the Spirit. I don't believe it's confined to nine of them, to tell you the truth. I think that there are a lot of other manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now he's using nine of them here. Nine of them are listed. I believe Paul is preaching a principle. He's teaching a principle. We tend to want to take the principles and we want to confine it and put it in a box and say, God, you're limited to these nine gifts of the Spirit. That's all you've given to the church. See, that's, in my view, error in thinking. And if we think of these things as gifts, as something that God is just withholding in heaven, and whenever He feels like it, He'll unpackage it and give it to us, and we better be aware where we can grab it. See, I don't want to read this portion of Scripture like that. I want to read this portion of Scripture like, you know what, guys? If you're spiritual, if Jesus is Lord of your life, if He is the head, then you, the body, are going to flow in a natural way in some supernatural manifestations. In fact, you're going to speak in certain ways that are supernatural in nature. You're going to see people healed in supernatural ways because of the manifestation of you with Jesus as your head, your part of the body, releasing spiritual endowments from on high. Is that making sense? There's a second thing that Paul addresses here. Verse 4, there's diversities of gifts. Verse 5, there's differences of ministries. Verse 6, there's differences of activities. But they're all the same God, the same Spirit who works all in all. There are three ways, there's three vehicles in which your spiritual life is released. The first one is in a gift. That's just one of the three. There's a spiritual gift. There's a spiritual endowment that comes down upon people. That's something that you can't work. It's something you can't do in your natural abilities. It's something beyond your ability to just work up enough faith or work up enough savvy to take and do something. How many know that I don't care how much I try to work it up, I can't heal somebody? You know, God can use me through this gift as a vehicle to heal somebody. Now, I know it's a shift in thinking here. See, if we think of this as a gift, and well, you know, Chris just walks in a gift of healing, and then we go out, we come upon a car accident, somebody's bleeding and dying, and we think, oh, we got to call somebody with a gift. You know, that's just not God. The God, the same Holy Spirit that is resident in Chris, and maybe she understands some things about releasing healing in a greater measure. There are people who have an understanding and an ability to impart and teach these things. But when it comes to being spiritual, brethren, if Jesus is your head, if he is the one that's in authority, if he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when you come upon that accident, then you have everything that you need to release a gifting, an endowment, an impartation of healing. See, but that's a gift. It says that there's ministries. Ministries is another vehicle with which spirituality, your spirituality, is released. Ministries there means that it's the word that's used for deacon, diakonos, something like that. You know, I'm not a Greek scholar. But it's the same word that when they set deacons in the church in Acts chapter 6. You know, and we tend to think that this ministry thing is kind of a step below the real spiritual things. I want to encourage you, look at some of the deacons that were set into the church in Acts chapter 6. One of them was Stephen, who became a martyr. There was no second tier of spirituality with this guy. One was Philip, who preached to an Ethiopian eunuch and was translated from that experience into another experience. He was an evangelist. You know, there was nothing second rate about these deacons, these ministries. But in the church, something that I think has caused some misunderstanding is we tend to take and place the spiritual gifts or the gifting of healing, the gifting of tongues, the gifting of interpretation, the gifting of discerning of spirits. We tend to place those in an echelon above a ministry gift. And we're wrong. You know, in this house, there are those of you who have a passion to do ministry things. There are ladies who, we heard it this morning, they knit these prayer shawls. Now, there isn't anything that spiritual about knitting prayer shawls, is there? It's a ministry. It's something you give yourself into. Now, when they intermingle the spiritual gift of believing that they're imparting love, healing, hope into what they're doing, and I believe that that can be done with faith. I believe that can be done with faith, and it's very, very effective. We've heard testimonies of people putting on these prayer shawls and being healed. But it's a coming together of the ministry with the spirit, with the spiritual gifts. The two have got to be seen as being married. We have car care ministry. What an amazing ministry. There's some people sitting in this room. You're here because you're touched by car care ministry. A very, very practical ministry service that's done in this community. And the guys are out in the garage and they're just turning wrenches. And, you know, it doesn't seem like there's anything really, really spiritual about that. There is. This is a vehicle through which your spirituality is released. It's one of the three vehicles mentioned here through which your spirituality is released. And you have a passion and a desire to wrench on somebody's car. You've got a wisdom with that. Then you'll wrench on somebody's car. And that's as spiritual as me standing up here preaching. There's nothing second rate about people that want to feed the poor. See, what I love is when the practical ministry is married to the spiritual ministry, to the spiritual gifting. So that in our car care, what happens out there is ministry. What happens in the house is ministry. They feed these ladies, they host these, you know, they hospitality. But as God opens the door, they pray with these ladies. And women have been changed through the prayers. It's the marriage of the natural ministry and the spiritual ministry. I want to propose to you, you really can't have one without the other. The Great Commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the ministry part of it. While you're there, bring the spiritual aspect into it. Lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, raise the dead, drink deadly things. You're not going to be harmed. Go in such a way, go with your ministry, with the practicalness of your ministry, in a way that brings a spiritual gifting, endowment, release on top of it that impacts people in the spirit. Many times it's a physical ministry that opens a heart to be able to receive a spiritual impartation. Both vehicles are needed. Bob does, and Second Harvest with, the Second Harvest, they do food distribution the third Thursday of every month. There's opportunity for anybody that wants to get in on some practical ministry. But I've also heard testimony of people that have gone and prayed with people in the lines and imparted a spiritual gifting along with a practical serving. We need to be careful that the motivation for our ministry isn't so that we can get them with the gospel. See, there's a matter of the heart that needs to be right there. But there is something about using a ministry as a door opening into somebody's heart. And God can show you when that is. To try to barge it in there just because you're doing ministry. Well, I fixed their car, so now they owe it to me. They got to let me pray with them. You know, a lot of times we handle ministry like that. It's just, there's something perverted in our hearts when we do that. There is no manipulation in Christ. So we have the gifts that are used by anybody who is spiritual. Okay? We have ministry that's used by anybody that's spiritual. And then there are activities of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that there are times that just because the Holy Spirit being on you, you carry a presence with you and there's an activity going on around you? Have you ever walked into a room where there has been arguing, fighting, bickering, and you come into the room and all of a sudden there's peace? Have you ever been in the middle of an argument where people are arguing and God just comes upon you and you bring peace? There's activities going on around you. I've heard of testimonies of people, Bill Johnson, standing in a grocery line, just minding his own business, not really doing anything at all. And all of a sudden he looks behind him, a lady has fallen down on the floor behind him. He goes, uh-oh, there's some activities going on here. The word there is actually translated, the Greek word is energia, which is, what word? Energy. There is an energy that you and I carry. Now, I know it's the New Agers that have coined that phrase. Oh, I'm just going to enter into the energy. You know, sometimes they understand some things that we're afraid to touch upon. But if the Spirit of God is upon you, if you're spiritual, if Jesus is your head, you can be minding your own business and Holy Spirit can be working in the atmosphere that you carry. And there can be energy that's released from you. I'm not talking about some weird Mideastern concept. I'm talking about the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you are a carrier of this presence. You're a carrier of the living Christ. See, and should it seem weird that if you're a carrier of Jesus Christ, that you would affect somebody without even trying? I don't think that's that odd. It's kind of the way the Holy Spirit works. You know, there's this energy things. Let's go down into verse 7. So you have, first of all, we establish the lordship of Jesus Christ. Second of all, we understand that there's different vehicles, there's different ways that God carries this spirituality in and through you. The third thing is, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So manifestation, and that's what I like to call the next section that we're going to read. When it comes to having a word of wisdom, having a word of knowledge, having discerning of spirits, having a gift of healing, It's manifestations of a spiritual people who have Jesus as their Lord. Is this making sense? And he uses the vehicle of ministry. He uses the vehicle of activities or energy. He uses the vehicle of a spiritual endowment in order to bring manifestations of the Holy Spirit as he sees fit to do it. And this manifestation is just basically what a manifestation is when the kingdom of heaven actually gets revealed on earth. So if we have a manifestation of healing, for instance, a week and a half ago my left knee was healed. Something from heaven invaded my knee and healed something that was going to need surgery, you know. And kingdom of heaven was manifested in my knee. Sometimes there's a manifestation of a breaking of depression. Or a breaking of a deep, deep wound. There are people all around us that are carrying wounds from childhood. Something that was given to them at that time, when heaven comes and touches that thing, all of a sudden there's a manifestation of freedom. There's a manifestation of weeping sometimes. Sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's laughter. You know, we tend to get all bent out of shape at these manifestations, but the manifestations are just the result of people who have Jesus as Lord, who are spiritual in nature, who do spiritual things, and these manifestations happen. I want to suggest to you that many of the manifestations of the Spirit happen way more naturally than we think. To somebody is going to be given a word of wisdom. What's a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is when, have you ever been in a situation where things are just, you know, two sides are trying to argue, two sides are trying to get at something, and it's just not happening, and all of a sudden somebody speaks something that brings order. Here's a word of wisdom in my book. 1787. Continental Congress, they're trying to get the two sides together, all the 13 states who are very opposed. Everybody's doing a power grab thing. Everybody's in argument. They're you know, we can't do that. I want my rights over here. I want my thing. I'm protecting my state over here. And President Washington's presiding, and an old man named Benjamin Franklin is sitting there. And he realizes that, man, this thing is unraveling at the seams. This thing's falling apart. This thing is just not going to happen because of all the partisanship. Benjamin Franklin stands up and he makes one of the most profound speeches he ever made. It's very short and I can't remember it all. I remember the gist of it. The gist of it was this. Listen, guys, I've got a spirit of wisdom upon me. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. He says, I've got an idea here. When we first started in this contest with Great Britain, we met daily in this room for prayers to petition divine providence. How is it, guys, that we've grown past thinking that we need this and thinking that we can do this without this same divine providence? I move, therefore, that we adjourn and come back together and start from this time forward every one of our sessions with prayer seeking divine providence. Now, how many would say, and after that, things happened? How many would say that's a word of wisdom? I don't even know if Benjamin Franklin really knew Jesus. I'm not going to even try to judge that, you know, 200 and some odd years later. But there was a word of wisdom that came upon him. A word of wisdom that came on Peter. Second chapter of Acts, Holy Ghost is fallen. People are out in the streets and there's confusion because everybody's hearing these guys talk in their language. Not only that, these guys look drunk. You know, well, wait a minute, they had to defend themselves. No, we're not drunk as like you think we are. We're drunk. But not in the way that you think we are. And there's this confusion, so Peter speaks order into the confusion. He has a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. that in the latter days I was going to pour out my spirit upon men, women, children, sons, daughters, upon all flesh. See, and this word of wisdom then was released. Word of knowledge. Have you ever stepped into a position where all of a sudden you just know something? You know, a word of knowledge. A great one that I love to use as an example is when Jesus is meeting with the woman at the well. Oh, goodness, my time is gone. I'm going to finish up here. Jesus is meeting with the woman at the well, and the woman at the well, Jesus says, go and bring your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, you said right. I know something about you. You've had five husbands. The person that you're living with now isn't your husband. In saying that you don't have a husband, you've rightly said. Jesus didn't criticize or condemn her. He just brings a word of knowledge. See, we could go through and we can study all nine of those gifts, and I can show you some very, very practical applications. But the thing that I really want us to understand this morning is this, that these are not gifts in the terms of they're wrapped up in a bowl up in heaven somewhere, waiting for God to put it into, let's see, it looks like this guy would really be good at ministering wisdom. Boom, here, you've got a gift. And now he goes and he carries that gift. See, I want to suggest to you that you who are spiritual, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual things. And as Jesus is your Lord, you're not speaking to dumb idols. You're not speaking to a dead book. You're not going to be operating and functioning out of doctrines that try to confine, that try to restrict, but you're going to come to the head of the church who longs to release some things into the body of Christ. And you're recipients, you're carriers of these endowments. And when it comes time to use these endowments, you don't need to fast and pray and say, oh, do I have this gift? It's in you. It's in you because of the Holy Spirit, and it is going to be released when there's needs. This manifestation of the presence of God. Is this making sense? But I love what Jesus said. When the 70 went out and they returned, and they saw demons falling, trembling. They saw demons cast out. They saw the sick healed. They saw these manifestations of spiritual men carrying a spiritual endowment, taking ministry into the streets. They saw these activities of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this. He said, don't rejoice over that stuff. I mean, that's good stuff. But rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice that you're called son, that you're called daughter. Amen. Rejoice that you're one that can lean on the breast of Jesus. I love to be used by God. I tell you, I love to do the works. I love it. But at the end of the day, I'll put it this way. I can live without doing the works. That doesn't bother me. I'll tell you what freaks me out, terrifies me, is when I'm not living in His presence. Don't rejoice that these things have been given to you. Just rejoice in knowing Him. Rejoice in relationship with this Creator of all the universe who loves you, the Victor. Let's stand together. Father, I thank You that every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, there's no shadow of turning. You are the steadfast one. Jesus, You're the head of the church. God, these gifts are going to come and go. They're going to be abused. They're going to be used wrongly.
Father, I pray that you'd keep our hearts centered on the preeminent thing, the preeminent one, the preeminent person in everything we do, in everything that we are, that these power manifestations that you have given to the body to do the work of the ministry would never rise up in value above our love for people and our love for you. We rejoice that our names are written in your book. Lord, that's what we're grateful for. That's what we get excited about. How we worship you with pure hearts, clean hands, that we can ascend the hill of the Lord because of the finished work of Jesus. Completed. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, physical healing, emotional things, just whatever you need, financial, come on up. We'll have prayer teams up here that can pray with you, stand in agreement with you. Love on one another. Give somebody a hug. There's coffee out in the lobby. Don't forget the Gideons. Ernie is out there with his Bible open. Just feel free to...
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.